Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahushua, also known as Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and my name is Nicholas. These days, we're going through the book of Daniel, and we started that yesterday, spent 2 hours beginning our study in the book of Daniel, and I found that I really enjoyed it. I spent a lot of time studying up for it in the last couple weeks while I reran the Genesis Bible study that we did late last year. And we got to chapter 3 in the book of Daniel. So let's just jump right in, and we'll backtrack just a little bit so we can pick up the context of the scripture as we're going through it. Daniel 3:19, and it says, "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spoke and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated." So here we are in the plain where Nebuchadnezzar has set up this image of himself, basically, over 100 feet high, according to their cubit. And the image is all gold. Of course, now the image, we know where Nebuchadnezzar got that image from his dream, where he was the head of gold, but the image changed in the dream that he got from Yahuwah. So he made the whole image himself, and he called all of his employees, all of the state employees together, and being the tyrant that he was, you were employed by him. If he said you were employed by him, you didn't volunteer, as people volunteer basically today for their employment with the beast government in the nation where I live. You have to volunteer into it. But in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, well, he had slaves, and if he wanted your services, you were his employee. Otherwise, you would lose your head. That's kind of a tyrant he was. And boy, I'll tell you what, as we've been going through this, we found out that if Nebuchadnezzar got angry, you better look out, because everybody was just fearful that they would lose their head at any instant. And that's what we have going on here. Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed. You ever see someone get so angry that they just lose control? They turn red? I mean, you know, they're just overcome, and they change right before your eyes. Well, that's what was going on with Nebuchadnezzar here, and he changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, these are some pretty famous fellows. I've heard about them pretty much most of my life. And most people that have grown up in church at all have heard it while they were a child, because pretty much all of these great stories of faith have been relegated to childhood stories in the modern-day corporate church. But basically what we have going on here is an act of civil disobedience. You know, the government here is saying you must obey. You know, when we say jump, you say how high, basically. But Nebuchadnezzar, when he asked Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to fall down when they heard the music and worship this image that he set up in the plain, well, they didn't do it. And then somebody, some good little government citizen snitched on him. You know, I'd call that kind of person a Nazi. Because the Nazi knows that whoever gets busted in this instance is going to be thrown into that fiery furnace over there if they don't fall down and worship. So anyway, someone snitched on him, and they brought him forward, and Nebuchadnezzar gives these fellows another chance. He says, "Hey, look, here we are. Perhaps you guys didn't understand." And, and they told the king, they said, you know, it doesn't matter. If you throw us in the fiery furnace, we will not fall down and worship the image that you set up, because we worship only the one true God, you know, that is Yahuwah. And so they played the music again, and the boys didn't fall down and worship. And like it says, then Nebuchadnezzar became full of fury, and his visage was changed against them. Because before he favored them, they were in top positions in his government. But now, and you know, plus he has the whole, I mean, thousands of people. I mean, everybody that's in his service, in his government, has been gathered together in the plain there to show their allegiance to King Nebuchadnezzar. by falling down to worship his image. And, you know, worship is an act of obedience. And I've discussed that. I say it all the time. Worship is an act of obedience. It didn't matter whether they did it in their heart or, you know, they might have gone, you know what, I hate this guy. I hate Nebuchadnezzar, but he's going to cut off my head or throw me in that fiery furnace if I don't fall down. I'm going to fall down, and he can think I'm worshiping, but I'm going to hate him all the time in my heart. You know, it didn't matter. Just so you did the act of obedience, because that's what worship is. It is obedience, despite your reason for doing it. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not. And therefore, it says, then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and here's why it was urgent, because he was full of fury. And he said, heat that fire up 7 times. And it was urgent because, and the reason it was urgent, because everyone was rushing around trying to do what Nebuchadnezzar said, because they were afraid they were going to get thrown into the fire furnace, because that's the kind of guy that Nebuchadnezzar was. So anyway, it was urgent. They heated up the fire as exceedingly hot. And it says that the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Another thing that happened while they were heating up the furnace 7 times, Nebuchadnezzar says, get your strongest men over here and bind these guys and throw them in. And like I said, I wouldn't want to be those guys because they had to get near enough the furnace to throw these guys in, and they died. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these three Yahudites, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spoke and said to his counselors, didn't we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire furnace? And they answered and said to the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. And like I said, that's an astonishing statement for this pagan, godless, tyrant king to be making. You know, the very head of the mystery Babylon image. I mean, he sums up what Babylon and mystery Babylon is all about, the character of Nebuchadnezzar, because he is the head of gold in the image of mystery Babylon, which encompasses all of the world governments from the beginning, from him, the head of gold, all the way down to when all of the governments of men are abolished forever. And we discussed that a little bit yesterday as we went through his dream, the image, and the interpretation. So if you miss that, you're going to have to go back and listen to the show from yesterday's archive. It's over there on the website, crosstheborder.org. So anyway, Nebuchadnezzar, he comes near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and he spoke and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come here. So they came out, they came forth out of the fire, and the princes and the governors and the captains and the counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other god that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Well, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they stepped into that fiery furnace, when they refused to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's image, they had no clue that they were going to be delivered. And they said, well, if we're delivered, that's fine. And if we're not, if our God doesn't deliver us, that's fine too. We will still not worship the image. And, you know, the fact is that throughout history that most people that have come into a position like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where the choice was between your life, losing your life, those that can kill the body were standing before them and ready to kill their body, or falling down in worship, or during the Inquisition of in history. And that's not to say that the Inquisition isn't still going on, because I believe it is going on. But in history, you can read like Justin, the Book of Martyrs, and you can see that they were ordered to recant or be burned at the stake, or whatever kind of death or torture that they had in store for them. And most of these people were not delivered in the flesh. They didn't come pass through the fire and come out with their mortal life intact, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Most of the time, it turns out differently. So when we do an act of civil disobedience, because that's what this was. I mean, you know, Babylon, the king, and all of his policemen there, you know, they were the government. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were committing an act of civil disobedience. The government said, you will break God's law. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, no, we will keep God's law, because God's law is higher than your law. And if we have to pay the price with our lives, well, forever is a long, long time, King. And you may take our mortal life from us. That's short, even if we live another 100 years. But forever is a long time, and we're not trading off this short mortal existence. Comfort, the comfort of this short mortal existence forever, you know, for a life that goes on forever with our Messiah in his kingdom in heaven forever. We're not trading that off. We would rather give up this short mortal existence than to give up the promise of our Heavenly Father. But as I said, most people throughout history have had not had that choice. And I made a statement. I said that the Inquisition is still going on today. And though it's not televised and it's not publicized, but today there are more Christians dying for their faith than have died throughout history. You have the Sudan. You have a few notable ones that are notable in certain parts of the Christian community, though most of the corporate church totally ignores the persecution and the death of many of those followers, remnant followers of Yahuwah, who give their lives for the gospel, because they will not recant. They will not change their religion. Some of the tools of the inquisitors are Islamic extremists who force people to accept the Islam religion or die. And those like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego of old time in this story, those faithful people, the remnant of Yahuwah, they will not recant, and their lives are required immediately. And hundreds of thousands, you know, have died in recent history, and there are thousands dying this year and every year. And if you just go back throughout recent history with the wars that have been brought about by the mystery Babylon government, you had the Civil War in America, and you've had World War I and World War II, and you look at who were the casualties of those wars. Who were the casualties, really? Well, you'll see the Jews were a major casualty, but there were as many fundamentalists, Christians and Protestants killed as there were Jews in World War II. But then you go back to World War I, and you find, and if you really dig deep into the history, you'll find out that the war had another purpose, and it really was a war on the saints and a war on those people who go against the mystery Babylon religion of the great beast. And that's all I'm going to say about that. You'll have to, you know, keep listening to First Amendment Radio, Liberty Radio Live, and listen to some of the good programming on there, and you can learn some of these things. But our purpose here is to stick to the Scripture. So that's what we're going to do. And, you know, the thing is, there is a time coming, and it may come to this land where I live in, and I believe it'll get here sooner or later. And as we have there's a lot to fear in this country. We see that all of our wealth is being raped from the nation. What was once the greatest and wealthiest nation on the earth is now the greatest debtor nation on the earth. I believe that an enemy is being raised up against America, and I I have a feeling that China is being set up as the next superpower. And, you know, we have the illusion that we are the superpower of the earth. But, you know, pay a little attention to what's going on over there in China. Truly, I believe China has already surpassed America. And, you know, I hate to say that, but I have to look at things realistically, and there's a reality. And just, you know, do a little search on China. Look into China and see what's going on over there. And I think you're going to see that there's something really big going on over there in China. And if China ever decides to collect on its debt, and that's why I think it's all being set up, because America is becoming now so indebted to China. And if their economy crashes, and they say America owes us these billions and billions of dollars, you know, they just might want to collect on their debt. And they may just feel like they have a right to come over here and take whatever they want. And I think about that. Well, it's kind of a scary thought. I'm so glad that I don't have to live in fear of that, because, you know, they may kill my body. Something may happen. Who knows? It may not even be in my lifetime. I don't know how long this can go on. But, you know, it's a wise thing to open your eyes and see what's going on. And hopefully that makes you draw closer to our Heavenly Father and have more of a desire to live in His kingdom, to cross the border into His kingdom, to stay in His kingdom, and to live a life that pleases Him by desiring to live a life of obedience to Him. You know, by faith, choose to live a life of obedience to Him, looking forward to the promised redemption of your souls. Okay, well, let's get back to Daniel. And we finished chapter 3, and we're going to move on to chapter 4 here. Chapter 4 and verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, unto all the people, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show you the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Now here's Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, this guy, you know, what could he do? I mean, he has seen wonderful things from Yahuwah, the king of these Yahudites, these children of Judah, from Daniel and from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these four men, he set over his whole kingdom. And of course, then Daniel delegated the ministry of the kingdom to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And, you know, Nebuchadnezzar loved these guys, but when he got this idea in his head that they should fall down and worship, he became enraged against them. They lived through the fiery furnace. So now Nebuchadnezzar is making this declaration. And I'll bet you he has a little help with this declaration. I can tell. I know who his top guys in government are. So anyway, this is the declaration that Nebuchadnezzar makes that Daniel has recorded for us here in chapter 4, starting in verse 1. And he says, I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. And I love that proclamation there. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. So the question is, when did it start and when does it end? Well, it's everlasting. It was from the beginning and it will go on forever. It started with Adam and Eve's repentance in the Garden of Eden when their high priest showed up and made the sacrifice for them and preached to them a sermon and explained to them everything, so that we see that they were looking forward to the redemption, and they were looking forward to the promised seed through whom the Messiah would come. That's the evidence we have in the Word itself. And that's where the kingdom starts. That was the first ecclesia there, right outside the Garden of Eden, when they had the first sacrificial event with their great high priest. So his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I mean, he is truly the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the God of all gods. You know, there's no one higher than him from generation to generation. And any dominion that anyone else has, well, they have it under him. He says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions upon my head troubled me. Therefore I made a decree to bring all the wise men of Babylon before me to make known the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. You know, and here you see that Nebuchadnezzar still doesn't get it. He's still talking about gods, plural. And something about this man is never going to change, you know. And I'll bet you, I have a sneaking suspicion that we're not going to see Nebuchadnezzar in the resurrection. I think that's fairly evident from reading about this man here. Even though sometimes he just says some, you know, astounding things, and sometimes you think, well, that you might want to just actually like this guy, but you know, you didn't know him personally. And just if you meditate on his character for a while, from what we have here, you see that it's not likely that Nebuchadnezzar is going to show up in the resurrection. Anyway, he says, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and that no secret troubleth thee. Tell me the vision of my dream that I've seen and the interpretation thereof. Well, he should have called it Daniel first because of the prior experience, but, you know, still this is Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And so anyway, he's going to give Daniel the dream here now. Thus were the visions of my head in my bed. I saw and beheld a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof unto the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. And I saw in the vision of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven, and cried aloud, saying thus, hew down the tree, cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit, lest the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from in his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from a man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the beasts of men, the basest of men. Sorry about that. He setteth up and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. You know, there's a pretty good clue there why a good man can't become president of the United States. Because he gives it to whomsoever he will, and he setteth up over it the basest of men. And he's talking about the one that ruleth in the kingdoms of men. He setteth up over it the basest of men. Very interesting. And here comes our first break. So we're going to pick up here on the other side of the break.